Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Decoding TV, a podcast about television. I am David Chen, and I'm very excited because today we're kicking off our coverage of Secret Invasion, a new TV show on Disney Plus that takes place in the MCU. Joining me today for this series of podcasts, he is the co-host of Remap Radio and the writer of Crossplay, a new Substack that you can find at patrickklepek.substack.com. Patrick Klepek, welcome back to Decoding TV.
You know, thanks for having me, Dave. You know, Buried, a Secret Invasion. I'm sure tonal consistency between these two shows that we're going to be covering.
You know, you might not be that wrong. So what we are doing here today is we have a preview episode about Secret Invasion. I have seen the first episode of Secret Invasion. Patrick has not. There's going to be no spoilers in this preview episode. We're just going to be talking about a few things to prepare you for Secret Invasion, as well as kind of our thoughts on MCU television in general and where we see the TV shows fitting into the MCU as a whole and what we think of the MCU, you know, universe right now and how it's going as well. So that's what is the plan for today's podcast. It'll be a short one, short preview episode. But I also want people to know that the way this is going to work moving forward is we will be putting out a new Decoding TV recap episode on podcast.decodingtv.com as well as at youtube.com/decodingtv, basically every two episodes of Secret Invasion. So there's going to be six episodes of Secret Invasion. After the first two episodes, we're going to have a recap, review, spoil everything on Decoding TV, and then the next two episodes, and then the next two episodes. So there's going to be three total episodes covering Secret Invasion. So that is the plan, and Patrick Klepek will be here for all of them, and possibly we might have some other guests coming down the line as well, so we'll see. So yeah, that is what is going to be the plan for this podcast. And again, you can find more episodes of the show at podcast.decodingtv.com. Follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Decoding TV, and become a paid member at decodingtv.com, where you can sign up for ad-free episodes as well as early access to episodes. We really rely on our Decoding TV members to keep this podcast going. So, Patrick Klepek, Secret Invasion. People who have listened to my work on Decoding TV and the Filmcast may be aware that I have become a little bit disenchanted with Marvel television shows as time has gone on. But Secret Invasion is going to be co-show run by a man named Kyle Bradstreet, who did a lot of work on Mr. Robot, which is a show that I was generally favorable on. And also, Patrick Klepek's interested in talking with me about it, so it's like, I can't turn down this opportunity to get into Secret Invasion on the Decoding TV podcast. Also, like, I feel the need to point out that, like, MCU TV production has been a little bit troubled as of late. I don't know if you've heard, but a few years ago, a bunch of titles were announced for this year. What If Season 2, Echo, Loki Season 2, Ironheart, Agatha, The Coven of Chaos. All those shows I just listed were supposed to come out in 2023. But apparently the only sure bets are, at this point, Secret Invasion. I think Loki Season 2 is still coming out. And then we also heard about Echo coming out in the fall. So it's been a significant paring down. And so part of me has this curiosity about, this is one of the shows that made it. Like, this is the show that survived the natural selection, right? Patrick Klepek, like, what is your excitement level for Secret Invasion? And then I'll talk a little bit about some of the lead up to it, and then we can talk about your general thoughts on MCU TV as a whole. But what are your initial thoughts on Secret Invasion? And you've seen the trailers. What are your expectations?
I don't know. Even as someone that remains maybe a more tempered MCU fan, but is still tries their best. It's one of the things that my wife and I share real, like, she has no interest in any of the video game stuff I do, but all the TVs and movies, we have a ton of personal overlap on. We fell in love with horror movies, and the MCU has been one of those constants as well for us, even as the quality has kind of wavered here in the post sort of Infinity War phase. But what I just don't know, and I'm sure this is something we'll unpack as we watch the show, we kind of talk about the MCU and its relationship to television and the broader landscape that it's kind of settling in, is this important? I don't know. If it's not important, that's okay. What kind of story is it telling? Is this meant to be sort of a personal exploration of Nick Fury? Like, is this meant to be a side-off thing? Like, I don't think the MCU knows what its relationship to television is, because so much has changed in the last couple of years between leadership at Disney, the actual production of a number of MCU shows. Like, it is well documented that COVID caused an enormous amount of havoc as they were trying to roll out, the most recent Spider-Man, Thor, and then how that fits into the MCU's television arm, in which, like, WandaVision was not supposed to be the premier show. It was supposed to be the Captain America show. It's a much different world to imagine that show going first, which there were parts of it I liked, but I don't think it worked as a cohesive whole. Whereas WandaVision, even though it kind of fell apart towards the end as everyone had to fight each other, like, that was a genuine, like, post-Infinity War, a genuine moment for the MCU and the culture. Like, everyone I knew was watching that show, even if they had a very tangential relationship to the Marvel films. That show managed to just sort of capture a zeitgeist as we were all stuck in our homes, I'm sure contributed to it. And the longer we have gotten away from that, and it is more falling into a more predictable rhythm with the films, it's just not clear to me where these stand in the hierarchy. And at the moment that you start to detach from that, I think you're going to start losing audiences depending on where they're at in terms of their relationship to Marvel as a brand, these movies, and where they fit in their lives. And then that's where Secret Invasion finds itself in just a really strange spot. Is this the Andor of the MCU, or, is that comparison even fair? Probably not. Don't compare it to one of the best television shows, Star Wars or not, of the last 5 years. But it just leaves me in a spot, even as a fan. I know I'm going to watch it, but I don't know what I'm looking for going into it, because it's not as though even recently I was set up, the last thing I watched was getting me ready for what's happening in Secret Invasion. That's not how these television shows and movies are interacting. They are not interlocking pieces, or they are, but the puzzle pieces are like, all right, well, that one was, I don't mean to go behind the scenes a little bit, but you were preparing your document about, like, how we, so that you and I had a sense of, what the flow of the show was. And you mentioned that, like, hey, the last time we knew about Nick Fury was in Spider-Man No Way Home. It's like, no, that was Spider-Man Far From Home, which was the 2019 film, which is just to say that's how detached all of this has become. Like, that movie was 2019. Like, what are we doing here?
First of all, Patrick, putting me on blast in front of the audience. Thanks for that.
I think it's the whole construction of all this is on blast, that even as someone who is a paid professional, and I run into this all the time with my video game stuff, where someone stops me in my tracks with a question that I think I should know the answer to that. I think that speaks to how tangled this web has become, that even someone that is paid to keep track of this, it means so much to them personally. They, even if they're, you've fallen off the MCU bandwagon a little bit, that can be, oh, right, no, it was that Spider-Man movie, not that Spider-Man movie. I just feel that speaks everything to this particular moment and how this show arrives in.
A mistake that David Chen made on the show notes for this Decoding TV episode summarizes the massive problems the MCU is having.
It's the skeleton key for everything else, Dave.
Fair enough. Okay, so what Patrick is talking about, right, is I prepared a little recap for us today, because here's the thing. All right, let me react to what Patrick has said. I've seen the first episode of Secret Invasion. A lot of critics have seen two episodes already. I only watched one because I wanted to, watch kind of along with Patrick. And I want to say, first of all, in my opinion, it is not the Andor of the MCU. Like, I heard that being floated. That is preposterous, in my opinion, just based on the first episode. I will say I think it is the kind of Winter Soldier of the MCU TV show.
Okay.
Which is like, okay. I think Captain America and the Winter Soldier was supposed to be the Winter Soldier of the MCU, but or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Falcon, you know, whatever yes. you want to call it. But yeah, this is, and by the way, that's not bad. Like if it was the Winter Soldier, like the Captain America Winter Soldier of the MCU TV universe, like that would be like a really big success in my opinion. I also think the show Secret Invasion, it has like a really amazing cast. And that's like makes it very exciting to just see what these actors are doing. Samuel L. Jackson's a main character in the show. Emilia Clarke is in the show. So this will be one of her first big TV roles since Game of Thrones. Academy Award winning actress Olivia Colman is in the show.
So what's like, she doing here? Who cares? I'm just glad she's here.
Exactly. So it's going to be like, oh, like, and Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury, he gets like a prominent role. This is almost kind of like, we never got a Nick Fury movie. So it's like, this is kind of taking the place of that. So there's a lot of things between that, between Kyle Bradstreet is co-show running it. Like there's a lot of things that like are intriguing me about the show and that I think will be worth talking about. But the promise of this podcast episode / YouTube video is, we want to help get you ready for Secret Invasion. Now, I watched a screener of Secret Invasion, and probably when you watch it on Disney Plus, there's going to be some previously in the MCU or whatever, and it will give you like a whole recap of how we got to this point. But I didn't have that, and I was kind of confused. So the Secret Invasion, you can tell from the trailers, it's the Skrulls feature into Secret Invasion in a big way. And if you know the comics, if you know, if you've seen the trailer, you'll know that the Skrulls play a big role. And so what I wanted to do with this conversation was explain to people who the Skrulls are as we've seen them on screen and where we are in the current state of things with the MCU as it relates to Skrulls. And in order to do that, I had to go all the way back to Captain Marvel, which came out in 2019. Patrick Klepek, you have an opinion on Captain Marvel, the movie, by any chance?
I quite liked it when it came out, but it's hard to separate. Well, one, just Brie Larson is effortlessly charming. Like, she shows up in anything, and I will want to watch her in it. But it is that movie comes out in the lead up to, you know, Infinity War, right? Like, the first
Endgame, I believe. I think it was Endgame. Yeah, It took place between Infinity War and Endgame,
right? And it's like, but in that period is like one of my favorites as an MCU fan. Like
this
it
is
was
the,
like
the heyday of the MCU. This is like when the MCU is at the height of its cultural power, basically.
Yes, right? What I should do at some point, I probably will do this before the Marvels comes out later this year, is revisit that movie separate from that zeitgeist, separate from like every time. I am too old to go to movies at midnight, but the Marvel movies of that era were the closest that were getting me and my wife to being like, well, I mean, but how late is 3 a.m. when you have to get up at 6:30 with your kids? Like maybe there's a nap we fit in the next day, because it was can't miss. You know, I've always described the MCU more as, you know, a serialized television show that just happens to be what you're watching at the movies. And every single one that was coming out, you know, in that era of Captain Marvel and Black Panther, like, was just cannot miss. Like, I have to be there day one, because I consider being there day one, not just for the logistics of avoiding spoilers or it was like, I wanted to be in the theater with people reacting to all the twists and the reveals and the post credits. And so Captain Marvel's, I have to be there for all of those reasons, and ended up quite liking the movie, but I don't know how that movie sits detached from that moment, given how much I think that was a part of my enjoyment of it at the time.
So here's what I'll say, having watched Captain Marvel last night to prepare for this podcast, right? These are the sacrifices I make for the Decoding TV audience.
Okay, all right. I don't like where this is going.
No. I mean, the movie is fine. Yeah. You know, I think Captain Marvel made $1.1 billion at the box office when it came out. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I think if you release this movie today in its exact form, I don't think it would make $1.1 billion. Now, David Chen will be proven wrong this fall when The Marvels comes out, and maybe it makes $1 billion. But, like, I just think that in that time period, this, which was like only 4 years ago, anything you slap Marvel on the title, or you know, Marvel on it, and it's like people are going to flock to go see it because it's part of this huge, exciting, interconnected universe. And it just doesn't feel like there's the same enthusiasm anymore as certain recent, fairly somewhat disappointing film performances have shown. So, I will say one of my favorite things about Captain Marvel is a lot of MCU movie post-credit scenes have been kind of garbage. And this Captain Marvel kind of between Avengers Infinity War with like Nick Fury, you know, activating the beeper, mm-hmm. and then Captain Marvel explaining where the beeper comes from, and then like then the beeper showing up at the end of Captain Marvel in the post-credit scene of that movie. That's like a really satisfying set of scenes of like, you know, oh wow, like he activated this beeper, and then there's a whole other movie explaining their whole relationship, and then you show what happens after he activated the beeper in the post-credit scene. It's like, there's just like, it just really kind of whets the audience's appetite for like, and it was all building up to Endgame, and it was really satisfyingly done. So,
yeah, and I think stuff like that, what was remarkable about it, and how much they were aware of it at the time, how much that was conscious, or just like things were just kind of like stringing along this sort of like, this kind of way as it all played out, is that like, the stakes of those connections you're making aren't especially high. They're great rewards for the audience who's paying attention, but also doesn't leave the audience who like maybe forgot about the beeper or didn't look that like post credits up on YouTube to be reminded. It doesn't leave them behind. It is a reward for the eager audience member that cares about those little Easter eggs and connective tissue. And that, you know, I think like losing that and just the increasing amount of things this franchise has to juggle means it is much harder for that setup and payoff to occur, or when it is occurring, it's occurring so distant apart that like, can it really be a payoff if it's, you know, 3 years later? Like how much of
right,
that can
right.
you keep in your mind?
So I'm just going to go on a limb and say, I don't think anyone forgot about the beeper after Infinity War, Patrick. I think people
right.
were really curious
yes.
about what was going on there. Whether the ultimate payoff in Endgame was worth it, you know, you can decide for yourselves, but okay. So let's talk about what we have learned about the Skrulls from Captain Marvel, okay? Captain Marvel is when we first got the full-blown introduction to the Skrulls. The Skrulls, I should say. So to recap what happens in Captain Marvel, Brie Larson plays Carol Danvers, a pilot who's working with a woman named Mar-Vell, played by Annette Bening, to perfect an engine capable of light-speed travel. This engine is eventually what gives Carol Danvers her superpowers. Anyways, Mar-Vell actually belongs to a race of aliens called the Kree, who are at war with the Skrulls, which is an alien race of people with scary-looking green faces that are capable of shape-shifting. While we are initially introduced to the story from the Kree perspective, with the Skrulls seemingly the terrorists in the situation, halfway through the movie, whoa, massive twist, it turns out the Skrulls are the ones who are being oppressed by the Kree. All the Skrulls really want is to find a home, and as the movie comes to an end, Captain Marvel rebuffs the Kree and commits to helping the Skrulls find that home. So that's what we know about the Skrulls. It's like, hey, don't judge a book by its cover, Patrick. You know, like the Skrulls, they look a little bit scary, but at the end of the day, maybe they're the ones being scared. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Skrulls also show up once again in the post-credit scene of Spider-Man Far From Home, where we learn that Talos and his wife Sorin are actually impersonating Nick Fury for the entire duration of the film Spider-Man Far From Home, and that the real Nick Fury is actually on a Skrull ship in space. The Skrulls also show up again in the post-credit scene of WandaVision, where one of them makes contact with Monica Rambeau. And that's basically been it. That's basically been all we've seen of the Skrulls until Secret Invasion.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So I just want to say, I think that's like, per your comments about connecting the dots, it's like, in order to get the most out of Secret Invasion, you need to remember all that stuff about the Skrulls. The post-credit scenes are not as important, but like a massive portion of the plot of Secret Invasion, or at least the setup of Secret Invasion, mm-hmm. hinges on the fact that Samuel L. Jackson's character, Nick Fury, is in space. And you only know that if you stayed through the end credits of Spider-Man Far From Home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. These are all like, okay, I'm just. So, and I've watched all these and claim to be a huge fan of them. I'm like, I got this all in my head. I'm yeah. like, really? They're doing the storytelling connective tissue exclusively through, like, it is true that they're often like the post credit scenes were functioning as not exclusively Easter eggs, right? They were doing some real setup, but I always felt like at their best, they were rewards for the rewards for paying attention as opposed to required reading for understanding what's next. And so not having this bit seems to rob a lot of that connective tissue for even situating yourself with Nick Fury or any of these other characters in this world. And that's odd. Those seem like some missteps along the way.
I will say it's a bold decision. To usually, like, you'd see a post-credit scene with like Nick Fury in space, and then there'd be like a whole other set of explanations as to what's going on there. And I don't, maybe there was that in the MCU. Maybe, I don't know if Ms. Marvel or whatever explained why Nick Fury is in space, but I don't think so. You know, I did some reading on Patrick, in all your watchings, other than Spider-Man Far From Home, do you recall anything explaining why Nick Fury is in space in the MCU? I don't think so, right?
No. Or if it is, you can't. Yeah. If I'm sitting here rubbing my temples trying to parse that, it was not a major plot point, right? It is at best a throwaway line, a reference to tell the audience that like we're aware, like we'll get back to that Nick Fury thing. I mean, I guess like the closest you get to that is the post credits of WandaVision, when Monica Rambeau is contacted by like hey like a Skrull, and it's like hey there's a friend up there, and it's like
a friend of your mom. I think it's like a friend of your mom's, if I recall correctly, or something.
Yes,
like
I believe that. I believe that's the line, and that would. So not only like is it a post credits that's referencing a bit that was in another post credits, but also they're not even going to name the character. They're like, who's the friend of your mom?
Yeah, like, it was so ambiguous. So
and maybe
so,
WandaVision actually set that up, and I'm just remembering the part of WandaVision that set that part up, so I could make that inference. But like that is a lot of like winking at the audience where the eye has become so enormous that I'm terrified of the wink itself.
Bold decision is what I'm going to say to approach it the way they've approached it. Now, to be fair, I think they like, having seen the first episode, I'll just say they kind of deal that. That is the setup of Secret Invasion is like Nick Fury has been in space for a while and there are Skrulls that walk amongst us. And if you kind of know that, then that's basically enough. So it's not like it's not like you really need to be acquainted with the intimate details of it because they haven't provided it to you. But it's just the fact that he's been away from Earth plays a significant part of the like him being away has been a significant part of the plot. So it's like wow, I can't believe they're like hanging this all on information we basically learned in post credit scenes. It's a bold choice, but. To recap the recap, basically, all you need to know is Nick Fury has been in space for a while. The Skrulls are looking for their homeland, and Skrulls walk amongst us. That's kind of the key details that you need. So,
gotcha. Noted. This is as much for the audience as it is for me. Yeah. So I appreciate this as I go into watching Secret Invasion.
Yeah. Indeed. Okay. So there's also a question in the chat right now at youtube.com/decodingTV about wasn't Fury's ship part of the offensive side of S.H.I.E.L.D. called S.W.O.R.D.? Seemed like it was actively preparing for the next cosmic threat. I think there is a lot of more details along those lines will be provided in Secret Invasion. In the comics, Fury sets up S.W.O.R.D. to deal with threats from space, but S.W.O.R.D. already exists in the MCU. It is a little bit different in the show than in the comics. But I do think the shows will provide some clarity on that. So you'll get some more information along those lines. I'm just amazed. Like, and I have to say, Patrick, I can't imagine this was the vision, for how this information would be doled out. Like, I have to imagine, like, maybe at one point Secret Invasion came out years earlier, or, you know, so like the post-credit scenes could connect more directly. That's just my speculation, but
it really feels like, you read enough in like the trades and how things were swapped, moved around, like Spider-Man No Way Home specifically, and I have to like catch myself, like, which way home am I saying? Homecoming's easy, and then I got Far From Home, No Way Home, but like that movie, like, Sony didn't want to move its release date, and so elements of its script had to be messed around as Marvel tried to make Doctor Strange work. And it's like, once you start, like, previous iterations of Marvel, yes, there was what felt like a lot of it relative to what we were getting at the time, but in sheer quantity now, it is just so much different. Even on the movies, you take away the television shows, you're just getting far more Marvel films than ever before, that makes, like, any cog in that machine that gets moved around for reasons that are totally understandable. How many times, if you're watching this, my guess is you're also reading up on film news and television news, things get delayed. Directors go off, like, get reassigned, get fired, new directors. Like, there are so, it's so hard to make any of these work when, like, all the best intentions are in place. When you then start connecting that into something that has 3, 4, 5, 6, like, when you're juggling that many pieces, there's just not going to be a way to seamlessly put that in the way you originally put it, like, had planned for it. And, like, that is one of the, it may have been, like, very exciting at the time to imagine all these new stories that could be told in the Marvel Universe. But I think what's been lost along the way is that joy of that connective tissue that I think also then robs probably the productions of these films and television shows, because, well, okay, we thought we were getting momentum drafting off of this other thing. Right. And now, yeah, we weren't building in all this other structural foundational elements that would allow a more generalized audience, or like built in higher stakes because the show needs to stand on its own. I think all that stuff ends up undercutting these individual shows as they go along, that are just consequences of things that may have happened 2, 3, 4 years that are routine in doing television and film production. And it's also worth mentioning, like, Marvel's never hadn't done television production until this, right? So it's like, so not only are we going to do TV for the first time, but we're going to do like a dozen shows, and they're all going to like play with the Marvel. It sounds so farcical when you put it, when you mention it out loud, this a couple of years into it, then imagining, well, even if you want to write that ship, it's like, well, yeah, but like 7 ships already went out. So like, we go write the ship on like the 8th ship in like 2.5 years from now. It's just the mind bends at how you're trying to kind of like solve this calculus when weaknesses emerge.
Agreed completely. But you know, Patrick, I'm very curious to hear what you and our listeners will think of Secret Invasion. Maybe you'll be like, oh, I don't know what Dave Chen was talking about. Like, I completely understand everything going on. I didn't need any of that. I didn't need any of that context whatsoever. I will just say from my own experience, I was like, wait, so who are the Skrulls again? And like, what are we supposed to feel about the Skrulls and Nick Fury's relationship to them? If there's one thing you should watch to prepare yourself for Secret Invasion, it is the 2019 film Captain Marvel. Like, if you can watch it, I think you'll be like really in a better space to understand what's going on with the Skrulls. It's not necessary, but for me, when I watched it last night, I was like, oh, like it all like makes sense now. It really helped everything to lock into place. So anyway, curious to hear what you think of the premiere and whether or not you found this podcast to be helpful. Okay, before we wrap up, I do just want to remind everyone that basically what we're going to do is Patrick and I will be recapping and reviewing every 2 episodes of Secret Invasion. So that means after episode 2 comes out, the Thursday afterwards, Thursday morning, Patrick and I will broadcast live at youtube.com/decodingtv to talk about the show every 2 episodes. There's going to be 6 episodes of Secret Invasion, so there's going to be 3 subsequent episodes covering Secret Invasion here on Decoding TV. Find more episodes of podcast.decodingtv and find us on youtube.com/decodingtv, where we will have these conversations live and interact with the audience. Okay, so as we wrap up, Patrick Klepek, I guess I just wanted to come back to this question of where we feel like MCU TV and what its role is. You've already kind of talked about this. I guess for me, what I am looking for is a TV show that doesn't feel like it's mostly an advertisement for other TV shows or movies. Like, mm-hmm. I want a TV show that tells a self-contained story that doesn't feel like it's mostly just we're setting things up for the next movie or TV show. And I feel like, you know, I guess when I think about shows like Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Loki, they did have some aspects of self-contained stories, but either those felt pretty half-baked. Like in the case of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I felt like that was just completely inconsequential as a story. Like, you could, whenever we see Captain America appear next, if assuming Anthony Mackie's playing him, you could have just never watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and you would still under, like, it still tracks from when he was given the shield.
Right. Oh, right, he's Captain America. That
he's
makes
Captain
sense.
He's Captain America. Like, it's a, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier is just this kind of, like, weird digression. Loki season one, a lot of it felt like it was laying crack for the introduction of Kang, in my opinion. And to the detriment of telling, like, a nice self-contained story itself. A lot of great things about Loki season one, a lot of great performance, a lot of great visuals, but, like, what I'm hoping for with Secret Invasion is a self-contained story that's actually trying to say something. You know? That's what I'm looking for. Patrick, are my expectations too high? What do you
think? Well, I mean, I'll push back a little bit on Loki. I think Loki, as someone that does look forward to the connective tissue, like, if you're going to do essentially a connective tissue show, I think Loki is about as good as you can do. Because I do think, yes, it's laying track, but I also think, well, if Ant-Man and Quantumania had been a better film, you know, this would be maybe a little more prescient. But like, I don't know that you needed to watch that to understand Kang in Quantumania. Like, again, Quantumania, not a good film. But, like, had it been, like, I don't know that Loki is more like setting up background of what this character is, some of their potential motivations, the consequences. And I liked Loki as that. My worry is that when the shows are inconsequential to the broader universe, then it is so much more important that they tell an interesting story in and of themselves.
Absolutely.
And, like, that's what happened with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is that it was inconsequential to the broader universe, other than just six episodes or however long it was, like, doing a sort of setting up Falcon taking that transition and not doing it particularly interestingly. And so it's also not its own self-contained interesting story. And so it's got to pick a path. And I understand that it'll be frustrating to people who consider some of this stuff to be homework, or they consider it to be too much to keep up with. But if you're going to, like, if these shows fall into those two buckets, you have to pick your lane and then execute on that lane. And I think that is what frequently these shows are struggling with, is, but, like, what if we did both? And it's like, I don't know that you can.
And the two lanes, to be clear, are like, hey, we're helping to provide backstory and set up for other Marvel things that will help you understand other Marvel things, or other Marvel things don't matter. We're doing our own thing, like, and we're telling a self-contained story. Those are kind of the two paths, right? Ideally, it does both, and they've had varying success in both dimensions in the past. But I am hoping that Secret Invasion tells its own self-contained story, that it has something to say, and if it ties into the Marvel universe and helps to set up for the Marvels, which it very well might, that's great. But the Marvels being the fall Marvel movie release that's coming out. If it doesn't, then, you know, I just hope, like, at the end of the day, we'll be like, wow, what an interesting commentary on blah, whatever it ends up being about. You know, that's
yeah,
all I'm hoping for.
I'm with you, and I'm curious. And this show, especially given that, I mean, you see more than me, that, yes, there's aliens, and I'm sure space to some degree has to play into it, but it is, you know, they're, in theory, yes, it's still world-altering consequences, but, like, lower stakes in the sense that some of the main characters we're following aren't powered characters. And that should, in theory, allow for some, like, really interesting groundwork. And I do think that is where people are bringing in sort of, like, some of the Andor comparisons. Like, hey, like, this world is full of wonder, but, like, also, like, people are just here. Like, what stories can you tell with those people who also happen to be surrounded by wizard magic or people who can fly? And that, I guess that's what I'm looking for. My expectations are not high on it meeting that bar. And maybe the fact that I'm arriving there as someone that should be primed to be just oh man, can't wait to sit down and watch the new Secret Invasion, in which in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't know. When does that new Silo episode come out? Like, that's a bad place to be as a Marvel fan, because I should still be their target audience.
Yeah.
And I still am. But if you're starting to, if I'm starting to waver, if I'm starting to think, hey, you know, I really did want to see Guardians, but like, I know that's going to be on Disney Plus in like a month and a half. And then maybe I don't need to watch this Marvel show, except to make sure I can watch it and talk about it with Dave Chen. That's an odd spot for this franchise to be. And as things like the X-Men and Fantastic Four and these other sort of grounding pillars of like, how do you bring general audiences back? Like, how do you get them into the thick of it again? I don't know. It's a strange place for this franchise to be. Although maybe not strange. It's been a decade. Like, all franchises wax and wane, and the MCU was due for a down period. It's just a question of, can they turn it around, or is this leading to something a lot darker?
We will find out. I'm looking forward to discovering that with you here on Decoding TV. And again, final reminder, Patrick and I will be back after the first two episodes of Secret Invasion have aired. We'll be broadcasting live at youtube.com/decodingTV on Thursday mornings, and getting the episode out on the Decoding TV feed shortly after that. So, Patrick, I'm really excited to have you on Decoding TV to talk about Secret Invasion. And the stakes are not high, medium, shall we say, for the Marvel Cinematic Universe on television. And there's been a lot of challenges, but some good stuff as well. Should be an interesting conversation here on Decoding TV. So, Patrick, let people know where they can find your work until our next episode together.
You can follow me on Twitter at Patrick Klupik. You can follow all my work rambling about video games over at remapradio.com. And if you're interested in a newsletter about the intersection of parenting and video games to technology, you can sign up and support that at patrickklupik.substack.com.
And if you enjoy this podcast, you can support it by becoming a paid member at decodingtv.com. Get ad-free episodes, early access to episodes. We really appreciate everyone who supports the show, helps to keep it going. All right, we'll be back after the first two episodes of Secret Invasion have aired. Until then, goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.